We have talked about it endlessly over the last decade or so, and we've accomplished close to zip.
We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
Today, how climate change is affecting what we reap and sow in the upper Midwest. NPR meteorologist Paul Hudner alerted me to a new, almost broken weather record this week. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Carrie. It'll happen, it looks like, in the next few days. The longest growing season on record for the Twin Cities and the latest freeze ever. That happens Monday if we don't get to 32 by then, and I think that's going to happen.
How long are the growing season records? I mean, how far back does that go?
They go back 143 years.
Okay, so this is a deal.
This is a thing.
We're joined also by Kenny Blumenfeld. He's a climatologist at the DNR. Kenny, welcome. It's good to have you on the show as well.
It's good to be on. Thank you.
I have to note, and Kenny, you might have seen this too, Paul put this lovely photo of a rose at the Weather Lab in the Updraft blog. I think what we're going to examine here on the growing season, Paul, also has implications far beyond agriculture. And I think you were showing us kind of a symbol of that.
Yeah, it does. Carrie, I feel like we're in a slow motion autumn atmospheric time warp here this year. This is not what the weather maps are supposed to look like in November. And the records just start to add up. This has been a very remarkable year. In the past 14 months, we've been running 4.2 degrees warmer than average in the Twin Cities. So the bigger trends are that falls are changing more rapidly in Minnesota. They're warming fast. And Kenny sent me some great new information on that.
Yeah, Kenny, talk to us, because I know it has implications far beyond just what farmers are doing. What would you say?
Well, I think that one of the things that we look at is because the Twin Cities has a really long climate record, but when the National Center for Environmental Information takes all of the weather stations in Minnesota and assembles them by region and homogenizes them or kind of smooths them out nicely, we can get a good look at what's happening statewide. And when we see that, we have a run of really warm conditions going back, you know, over a year now on a statewide basis. And we also are seeing, we can break it down by month and by season. And if you look back to 1895, which is far back as these records go, you see a long-term trend where the state is warming at about a little under a quarter degree per decade going back to 1895. But when you look at the period just since 1970, that accelerates to about twice the rate or close to a half a degree Fahrenheit per decade. So it's a rapid change in warming that began right around 1970 or so. And then when we look at fall and winter are really the two seasons that are changing the fastest, especially since 1970. So compared to summer, which is also warming, fall is warming about seven times faster. It's a remarkable rate of change. And we're seeing that not just in the low temperatures, which is kind of what we see with all of our other seasons, but also with the high temperatures. So we're just getting a warmer fall across the board. This one is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, Paul, I want to, you remind me that our area of the upper Midwest, we see these warming trends accelerating more quickly than we would see in other parts of the country.
That's right. Climate change in general was always theorized to happen more at the Arctic and at high latitudes. And that is actually panning out. And in the center of continents is another area that seems to be warming more quickly away from the modifying influences of oceans. So Minnesota is the fastest warming state, according to Climate Central and the data, in winter in the United States. And apparently that's lingering into fall, too. And this fits with the overall theory of climate change, Carrie, because if you think about what greenhouse gases do, they re-radiate heat that's already in the atmosphere. So essentially they give it more of a longer residence time.
Mm-hmm.
So after summers, the heat dissipates more slowly. And the changes in the Arctic seem to be affecting us, too, because this is an amazing year in the Arctic. We've got little or no, much lower than average Arctic sea ice. In fact, it's at record low levels right now for November. Its temperatures have been 20 degrees warmer than average in the Arctic. It's in total darkness, and yet ice has been melting at some times in the Arctic Ocean in the last few weeks. So it's very unusual. The air masses that have been coming south are not as cold as they normally would be this time of the year.
You know, Paul and Kenny, it just occurred to me that I know we have some farmers who listen to the show and listen to ClimateCast. Maybe we put the phone number out if anyone is farming and doing things differently because of these longer growing seasons. Maybe that's maybe it'd be good to have that perspective. 651-227-6000. If you grow things, if you're a farmer, and these longer growing seasons mean you're doing something differently. 800-242-2828 and on Twitter at @KerryNPR. Kenny, what else do you want to say about the growing season specifically?
Well, I mean, you know, when we look at the Twin Cities, that's just one of many records that we can look at. And I would want to point out that last year, the Twin Cities set its record for the latest 30-degree temperature on record, and it also obliterated that record. And we're just seeing so many changes in the length of the growing season. This year, for example, the Twin Cities had more 60-degree low temperatures than any other year on record by 10. So it broke the previous record by 10 days. And we looked
Kenny, I want to make sure I understand. You said more 60-degree low temperatures.
So so the lowest temperature of the day falling to 60 degrees or warmer.
Wow.
Yeah, and so basically you take your sort of mild weather season, and now you expand it across the calendar, adding, you know, 10 days above what had been the previous record. And because the Twin Cities could be, you know, someone could look at that record and say, well, you know, the Twin Cities has an urban heat island, so we often will point people out to the west. One of our best observers is out in Milan. It's the Opjordan family. They've been doing this for over a century, and they have seen very similar records. And, in fact, this year they had the most 50-degree-plus low temperatures on record, also kind of destroying their old record. So it's not just the Twin Cities. It's a statewide phenomenon.
Guys, we have somebody on his combine calling in to Mark in Plainview. Mark, I'm so glad you heard this and called in.
Well, thank you. And appreciate all the info that we get from the station and the public radio on the climate. But, yeah, I'm growing longer season corn, longer season soybeans, and normally I would be in a panic after the October Halloween snowstorm combining this late, but my monitor right now says it's down to 18 moisture, and that's just a godsend because you don't have to spend money to dry the corn, but... do you think this trend is going to continue?
The big question. Paul,
yes is the answer that we're seeing in the data. The year-to-year variation is still going to be there, Mark, from what we know. We're still going to have years occasionally where, you know, the cold comes early, the snow comes early. Every year is not the same. But overall, the number of years that we're getting like this year are increasing. So we're seeing fall come later, winter come later. And Kenny, correct me if I'm wrong, but not as much change in the spring and summer around Minnesota. Do we know why that is?
Yeah, I mean, the summer especially, we're seeing a general increase in the average temperatures, and that's mostly driven at night. In fact, over the last 45 years or so, the average high temperatures during the summer have actually come down. This is one of these things where it's going to be debated for a while. Wow, is it all that evapotranspiration above corn and above some of these moisture-intensive crops is where, you know, so you have higher relative humidity and therefore you don't get the same temperatures? Or is this just, you know, as you pointed out, Paul, the warming that we're seeing is largely an artifact of the greenhouse effect, which really works much more on the cool seasons when you kind of think of the lights being off and you're radiating heat out from the earth as opposed to receiving it from the sun. And so you see more of that effect in the winter and at night. So that's one possible reason. But I think a lot of this is going to be debated over the next decade. Why are we seeing it? But it is region-wide, and I believe that the next national climate assessment is probably going to pretty strongly reflect that the north central U.S. is not seeing hotter summertime conditions. It's seeing some warming, but not more hot days during the summer.
And it's getting, I want to get this in too, because it's getting wetter in Minnesota. And this year has been remarkable, right, in terms of how wet and how warm we've been. Tell us a little about that combination. It's been pretty rare, hasn't it?
Yeah, if you kind of think of a complicated but sort of nerdy graph that I like to make, where you have one axis is precipitation or how wet it's been, and another axis is temperature or how warm it's been. When you combine the total statewide average temperature and total precipitation, we don't see a year on record so far that's both as warm as we've been and as wet as we've been. So you see some years that are warmer, but we're in the top 10, and you see some years that are wetter, and we're also in the top 10. but you don't see anything that's both this warm and this wet. So in that way, we're up in the kind of far upper right quadrant of the graph.
You know, thinking about Mark calling in from his combine, this is going to mean differences for the way that agriculture manages insect populations too, isn't it, Paul?
Yes. I mean, we're seeing that in all areas of wildlife, if you will, species moving north that weren't here before, disease seasons getting longer.
Right.
And with higher humidity and more rainfall in Minnesota, that, of course, can introduce some new things happening that haven't happened before. I don't know, Kenny, if you have any perspective on that and what we're seeing with humidity levels during the growing season.
Yeah, I mean, the humidity levels are also pretty complicated because we're not seeing the ones that you really remember changing all that much. We're seeing the more forgettable ones changing. So we're seeing if there is an increase, it seems to be sort of the bottom and middle of the pack. So you're losing those really low dew point days in favor of the days with more moisture. But the one of the things that your comment reminds me of is that, you know, what we're describing here is warmer winters and less hot summers. And if you just think of how that feels, it's this sort of, and I think you've covered this before.
Doesn't feel like Minnesota.
It's sort of feeling like almost nicer in some ways.
Yeah.
And what we often have to remind ourselves and our colleagues of at the DNR is that one of the ways that climate change really affects Minnesota is through the secondary impacts. You know, nobody's going to the hospital because the winters aren't as cold. What's happening is that there are these secondary impacts like pests and things that used to not be able to succeed here that now can because our winters aren't as cold as they used to be. So you kind of think of opening the door a bit more. And then with a longer growing season, there's also more opportunity for things that formerly could not establish here.
Yeah, you know, Kenny, as I asked that, I was thinking about when you go out to Colorado to Rocky Mountain National Park and you see what the pine bark beetles have done, the rangers will tell you that that's primarily about climate change.
Right, yeah. And we do see some of this in Minnesota, too. And I'm certainly not an expert in all of the impacts, but I work with people who are. Some of my colleagues in the DNR are. But one of the things that we know is that the larch beetle, which preys upon the tamarack forests in northern Minnesota, is now, instead of having a what's usual, which would be one generation, it now has two.
Wow.
So we're having some real forest problems because, you know, there's at least a likely link between the changing climate and the ability of these pests to increase their population.
Kenny, good to have you on the ClimateCast. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be on. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Kenny Blumenfeld is senior climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. What else are you taking a look at here, Paul?
Well, I'll tell
week?
You what. The big story globally has been the warm Arctic. I mean, it is off the charts for this time of year. How little sea ice there is. Much of the Arctic still ocean, still open water in November.
Mm-hmm.
And when is it going to get cold? That's the other thing. I'm looking at some of the latest models here that keep us mild and above freezing carry until about November 19th. We'll see if that happens, but we're going to blow these records out of the water this year. We continue to set unprecedented records in Minnesota, and we continue to watch the Arctic. And the Arctic, you know, what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic. It matters to Minnesota. So those are some of the things we're watching. It's been a crazy weather and climate year.
One last question about something you asked, Kenny, and that's moisture. I mean, even if you're seeing these warmer temperatures extending into fall and winter, does that mean these moisture trends also extend?
Yes. Minnesota's getting wetter overall. That trend has been established.
That means more snow, though.
Probably more of that falls as rain in winter,
really?
Instead
okay.
of snow. But our soils, this has been a very tough year for farmers. I think a markdown in Plainview in his combine, I'm glad he's able to get into the fields because for a few weeks there, they weren't able to. So we're getting wetter. We're getting these heavier precipitation events. And that is affecting river levels in our hydrology and our lake levels around Minnesota fluctuating much more rapidly than they did in the past. So Kenny made a good point. As we go through this climate change now, we know the big picture, the climate change is happening. Now we're starting to drill down to some of these regional effects, and we don't know all the answers to this yet. So this is all kind of unfolding before us as we go forward.
Paul, we were thinking that by the time you show up next Thursday, we'll know who the next president is going to be.
Yes.
And maybe for the ClimateCast, we examine some of the specifics on their climate policy.
I am amazed that climate change has not had a bigger role in this election. I know I'm preaching to the choir here a little bit, and I understand
one
why,
question in a debate.
Wow.
And that's it.
And it's going to be a huge impact going forward.
One of the most urgent problems that the next president's going to have to confront.
Yes.
Almost nothing about it on the campaign.
I will be delighted to chat
about
it.
Okay, good. I'm
next
looking
week.
Forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Thanks,
Thank
Carrie.
You. And that is the Climate Cast.